Welcome in, Ute fans. This is the Crimson Corner Podcast. It's powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your host and Utes insider, Trevor Allen, with another winning edition as the Utes come off of a win over the Colorado Buffaloes with the upset, the 21st-ranked Buffs, who were undefeated and are no more as Utah goes over to Boulder and gets a 38-21 win. And that was crazy because going into the week, it was a Friday night game. But then the big rivalry game out of the Big Ten between Ohio State and Michigan got canceled. So that was supposed to be part of the big noon Fox kickoff. And so they actually needed a game. Gus Johnson, Joel Klatt, Jenny Taft, they needed a game to call. So since Utah's game on Friday was supposed to be on FS1, Fox decided to push the game over to Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, and that's exactly what they did. But Utah picked up a 38-21 win. It was not pretty at first. It was good to see Utah score a touchdown on their first drive, but then after that, they stalled out. And Colorado seemed to be throwing the ball a little bit better and not really running the ball much. Jarek Broussard was held in check for the most part, but then they allowed a punt return for a touchdown by Jerry Rice's kid, Brendan Rice. I think he's really, really good. And then on the very first play in the second half, Colorado had it, and Rice had a 61-yard touchdown. After that, Utah held Colorado scoreless and then went off to score 28 unanswered points, including a couple of touchdowns by Ty Jordan and a touchdown for Britton Covey, which was great to see. So to just go over the Utah game, here are my five standouts from Utah's win over Colorado. And I do this every week. I mean, there's probably not going to be many more weeks because you guys will hear from Kyle Whittingham coming up, but we're not sure if they're going to be playing in a bowl game if they win this week. Kyle Whittingham said he's going to leave it up to his players to decide whether or not they participate in a bowl game. All right. First standout, and again, this isn't in any order. It's just the way I put it on paper. But number one, Ty Jordan. Again, back-to-back 100-yard games. He's averaging over 7 yards per carry this season, having a tremendous year. Had 17 carries for 147 yards and 2 touchdowns. In that game against Colorado, he averaged 8.6 yards per carry. Now, of what's crazy is he had an 18-yard touchdown run and then a 66-yard touchdown to kind of put the game away for the Utes against Colorado. So he has just been absolutely tremendous. And he is a star in the making. Number two, Nephi Sewell, the linebacker. On the year, he has 4 turnovers. So if you look at it, Utah's played 4 games. He's had a turnover in every game, but he had 2 turnovers in the first game against USC and then had 1 against Washington and then 1 against Colorado. Now, Sewell, in the win over Colorado, had 11 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, 1 interception, and forced a fumble. He was all over the place and was just tremendous and a huge difference maker in when Utah made their adjustments in the second half. And then coming in at number 3, Jake Bentley, quarterback. I think that was his best performance as a Ute, and he's starting to get more comfortable in this system. It's been a little bit different for him getting to know the offense because when he was playing back in Lexington, South Carolina, and also playing for the Gamecocks, he was playing in different systems. And it was actually mentioned a couple of times on the broadcast with Joel Klatt that Jake Bentley is now looking comfortable. And I believe that. He did throw a pick. I believe he got hit as he threw. But either way, it's still a pick. But he did finish 20 of 32 passing for 240 yards and 2 touchdowns. He also ran the ball 11 times for 31 yards, and a couple of those runs were on key third downs, and he was able to pick up the first. And then coming in at number 4, Britton Covey, another tremendous performance for him. He had 2 touchdowns against Oregon State, had 1 against Colorado, but was all over the place for the Utes in the win over the Buffs. On Saturday in Boulder, he had a career-high 9 catches for 76 yards and a touchdown. He also ran the ball once for 2 yards and also had 3 punt returns for 44 yards and 3 kick returns for 88 yards. All in all, Covey racked up 210 all-purpose yards. So I think it's safe to say that Britton Covey's back. And then JT Broughton, the cornerback, having another big game. I mean, it didn't show on the stat sheet. If you were to look at it, he had four tackles, one tackle for loss, and also a fumble recovery. But in that second half, Utah forced Colorado to turn the ball over on downs a couple of times, and he was a big part of Utah shutting down the passing game in that second half, where Colorado couldn't get much going throwing the ball like they were able to in that first half. And so Broughton has a really bright future. Clark Phillips is another guy who's actually been playing really well. Nate Ritchie had a great game, ended up getting his first career sack. So it's looking really bright for that secondary. Now, if you guys like that early kickoff at 10 a.m., you're going to like the next kickoff for Saturday. So the Pac-12 announced the final regular season week. It's kind of the crossover where, you know, the top seeds play against each other from each division for the Pac-12 title, and then number two versus number two, and so on and so forth. Utah finished fourth in the Pac-12 South standings behind the UCLA Bruins, the Colorado Buffaloes, and the USC Trojans. They're going to be playing the number five team in the North Division. And why is that, you ask? Because Oregon State finished fourth in the North. And so since the Beavers and Utes already played this year, the Pac-12 decided to match up Utah with Washington State. So they will host the Cougars on Saturday, and that's 11:30 a.m. kickoff, and it'll be on FS1. Now, for Washington State, they are 1-2 on the year with a win over Oregon State in the season opener, and then they lost to Oregon at home before having their next two games canceled due to COVID-19. And then last week, they lost to USC. They got blown out. I think it was like 38-13. So the Cougars are coming in a little bit beat up. They were supposed to play Cal in the last week, but just, I think it was less than 2 hours before kickoff, the game was canceled because Cal had one positive test for COVID-19 on game day. All right, I'm going to let you guys hear from head coach Kyle Whittingham at his weekly press conference on Monday morning.
Hey, proud of our guys, the way they hung in there on Saturday. Overcame an 11-point second half deficit, which was good to see. Offense came alive in that second half. We scored 28 points, and it was enough for the victory. And so that was a positive. Defense played well start to finish. Wasn't perfect, gave up a few things. That first play of the second half was a big one that we let get away from us. But when you look at the defense overall, I believed going into the game, the biggest factor and key to winning, other than the turnover margin, was our rush defense taking away their rush offense. And that's what we were able to do. We were able to hold them less than half their average, and the back that had gone for 300 plus the week before, held him to under 100, I believe it was somewhere in the 80s. And so that was the biggest factor, in my opinion, that and the reason that we were able to get the victory. So it's on to Washington State, and spread offense, mobile quarterback, dangerous receivers, really good core receivers, and playing hard on defense. So that's a great time to kick off, and weather, who knows, it doesn't matter. Deal with whatever we got to deal with. So questions.
Kyle, after the game on Saturday, you and Britton Covey were both talking about how kind of worn out the team is, and after what you guys have gone through in 2020. If you guys win on Saturday, that makes you guys bowl eligible. Are you guys willing to play in a bowl game if you guys have the opportunity?
Good question. That'll be really, in my opinion, up to the players. We'll talk about that when the time is right. And if they're up for it and want to do it, and we, you know, have got the record we need to have, obviously we've got to win, then we'll move forward. And if they feel like enough's enough, then we won't. And so, to me, they're going to handle that within themselves. I'm not going to, and I'll back them either way they want to go. Whatever our players choose is what we'll go with.
Devin Lloyd this morning was named a finalist for the Butkus Award. Obviously that's a top honor at his position. How difficult is it to get that type of notoriety when you've only played four games?
Very difficult. And obviously some of the notoriety he's getting was based on last year's performance, because he played very well last season, but he's been a just a mainstay for us this year, making a bunch of tackles. Him and Nephi Sewell are 1 and 2 on the team in tackles. And Devin's been extremely productive last year, carrying into this year. He's a talent. He's got everything you look for in a middle linebacker. He's got 6'3" and 235 pounds and runs 4.5-something 40. And he's a student of the game. He's got a burning desire to be great. And he's put in the time and the work and the effort ever since he got here, and now it's paying off for him. So proud of him, and great to see him on that short list of Butkus Award finalists.
Wanted to ask you, it seemed like the offensive line was able to get a little bit more push when Brayden Daniels entered the game. It seemed like Keaton Bills just struggled for whatever reason, but Brayden Daniels, just inserting him into the offensive line, seemed to spark some things. What did you make of his play and his impact on the game?
Well, Brayden came in and did a nice job, and Keaton Bills is a good player, and we're not by any means down on Keaton. It was just something that Jim Harding saw and thought would be give us a little boost. We were getting a little bit of penetration on that side, so Brayden came in and did a nice job. And of course, he had a bunch of starts under his belt, so he's not new to getting extensive playing time. He started pretty much all last year, so him and Keaton are two really good players. And it'll be a battle this week to see which one gets the nod. But you're right. We did have a little bit of a spark when Brayden went in and we're able to get more done in the run game.
What's Cam Risen doing at this point to make sure it's not a total waste of time for him?
Well, he came off a successful surgery. He's in rehab and getting doing everything he can with the shoulder and going through the normal rehab process. He's finished up his academics this semester, and all indications are he had a very good semester with his grades. And so he's a kid that's making the most of his time. He's not just sitting around doing nothing. He's got a lot of desire and wants to get back. And now this is going to be an extensive rehab time. It's not something that will most likely will not allow him to be participating in spring ball. So he's got a long road ahead of him, but he's determined and got the right attitude. And so we expect him to make a full recovery. That's our hope.
But who cares what Urban Meyer says, right?
Well, I care.
I mean, about your hair.
Yeah, some hair comment. We talked about that after the games. A lot of reverberation. You said Ty Jordan's blocking. Was that the question? Comment on
yeah.
That? Yeah, okay. Ty Jordan has gotten better and better at picking up blitzes, and he did a fine job in the game Saturday and had some key pickups. He's still got a ways to go, but he's worked hard at that, and Coach McDonald, his position coach, has done a good job schooling him up and getting him tuned into the protections, and he's come a long ways in the short time that he's been here in that regard. And obviously, you see what he does for us in the run game. He's a tremendous player, and so he's got a desire to be a complete back, and a complete back has to pick up pressures, and he's got to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield, and Ty Jordan is doing all those things right now.
Kyle, coming into the season, you guys had four running backs you guys were using, and now obviously with Ty Jordan's emergence, but it seems like over the last 2 weeks you guys have really dwindled that list down to maybe two guys. Is that the case where you guys have just seen certain guys emerging into where you're only using two, maybe three running backs?
Well, it has pared down. Jordan Wilmore had an injury a few weeks back, which has slowed him down. But Ty Jordan's emergence has really given him the lion's share of the work the last couple of weeks. And he's doing a great job. He's averaging over 7 yards a carry. And so he's been a big plus for us. Makai Bernard is also doing some good things. But we've got four backs. Who knows if we'll be able to hang on to them all. When you have freshmen that rise up and do well, upperclassmen sometimes get the notion that maybe they're not in the plan. So we'll see what guys that we're confident in right now, and we'll just see what direction things go.
Coach, Blake Keithy got his first action of the season and of his career, basically. How, I guess, was that rewarding in any sense to you to see him actually take the field?
Very much so. He's had a long, hard road since he's got here with injuries. He's overcome each one, and they're major injuries, not just nagging little things. It's been significant injury, and he's come back and is in a place right now where he's ready to help us. And you saw him get his, you're right, it's his first collegiate snaps, and did a good job. He graded out pretty good, and he's a really good player. When he's completely healthy, which he's just about there now, he's got a lot of ability, and hopefully going forward, he's able to stay healthy and continue to contribute.
Kyle, the offseason with the transfer portal is generally pretty chaotic anyway. With the one-time transfer exemption likely getting pushed through in January, do you expect the offseason to be even more chaotic now?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any question about that. These guys got to be careful. They're going to the portal because the opportunities are not, there's not enough scholarships available and opportunities to satisfy everyone that goes into the portal. And so you got to be smart and think things through. But to answer your question, I don't think there's any doubt that you're going to see much more movement and activity than in years past. But again, the portal is going to be saturated, and we'll just see how it all shakes out.
And there you go. That was head coach Kyle Whittingham talking to the media at his weekly press conference. But that was on Monday. And then just hours after Kyle Whittingham addressed the media, he lost two of his running backs to the transfer portal. Devin Brumfield and Jordan Wilmore both decided to enter their name into the NCAA transfer portal, leaving Utah with two running backs. And on Tuesday, when Kyle Whittingham talked to the media in the morning, I asked him about Devin Brumfield and Jordan Wilmore entering the transfer portal.
Yeah, they made the decision that it's best in their best interest to move on. They were great members of our program while they were here. Both were all in all the time. Excellent work ethic, great teammates, great students. And so we wish them all the best. They were major contributors for us. But like I said, they've determined that moving on is best for them, and so we support that and want nothing but success for them.
And then to follow up quickly, who's going to be your third back now that you're down to two guys who've normally played? Who's going to be your third running back?
Faisal Aiden is a guy that has been in the program for a couple of years. He does a great job. He's been on the scout team up until now, but he'll be elevated to the travel roster. And he will be the third back going into this game this weekend.
We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Running Utes and how they did last week and looking ahead to what they have coming up this week. You're listening to the Crimson Corner Podcast. Welcome back into the Crimson Corner Podcast. It's powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your host and Utes Insider, Trevor Allen. If you guys are looking for an app that gives you all of the latest sports news regarding your favorite teams in the state of Utah, especially the Utes, make sure you guys download the KSL Sports app. Brought to you by University Federal Credit Union. Now, downloading that app, you pull it up, and you guys can get the Crimson Corner Podcast. You guys can get all of the latest Ute content. There's even a tab below where you can just check out all of the content coming out from the Utes. A lot of the stuff that I post, some of my other colleagues will post as well, including Tom Hackett. former Utah punter, All-American. So make sure you guys download the KSL Sports app brought to you by University Federal Credit Union. All right, the Running Utes suffered their first loss, but going into the week, they had two games. The first one was against Idaho State on Tuesday, and they picked up a 75-59 win over Idaho State. And that was a game where Utah struggled. They could not get rebounds, and they couldn't keep Idaho State off of the offensive glass. But they were able to make adjustments and get the win. Now, for the Utes, they had six guys score in double figures, led by Pella Larson with 14 points. Alfonso Plummer had 13, as did Brandon Carlson. Rylan Jones had 12. Timmy Allen had 11. And Mickey Yantunen had 10. So that happened on Tuesday, and then they went down to Provo on Saturday. So Saturday became really busy, in case you guys didn't know, with the Utah football game. And then at 4 p.m. Mountain Time, they went down to Provo to play BYU and suffered an 82-64 loss to the Cougars. And that was Utah's first loss of the year. And really what it was a couple of things. BYU's bigs controlled the game, and Utah just could not match up with them size-wise, because BYU has a bunch of bigs, and Utah just went scoreless in a good portion of the first half, and BYU took off. It wasn't like BYU, I mean, yeah, they ended up shooting 55% from the field and nearly 40% from downtown, but Utah was neck and neck with them from beyond the arc. Both teams made 9 threes, just Utah shot 5 more of them. A big problem was Timmy Allen and Rylan Jones both struggled. 9 points for Allen, 7 for Jones, and they combined for 52 points last year when Utah beat BYU up at the Huntsman Center. But Allen was 3 of 11 from the field, and Jones was 2 of 10. But of what was good to see, Plummer led the way for the Utes with 19 points, but Riley Batten had 14 points off the bench, knocked down 2 threes, and went 6 of 11 from the field. So that was good to see. Now, if you could put that together with Plummer scoring, Batten scoring, if you can get Brandon Carlson near 10 points per game, and then Rylan Jones and Timmy Allen getting in double figures, this Utah team is going to be really, really good. And Pella Larson only played 11 minutes. He struggled. He went 0 for 3 from the field and 0 for 1 from downtown. That was the main problem for Utah, as Spencer Johnson came off the bench for BYU and had 16 points. Richard Harward, the big man, former UVU big, had 15 points, 7 rebounds, and was 7 for 7 from the field and 1 for 1 from down or from the foul line. And Connor Harding led the way with 17 points. So Utah will now try and lick their wounds to take on Utah Valley on Tuesday, December 15th at the Huntsman Center. That game will tip off at 5 p.m. And then on Friday, they will host Idaho. The Vandals will come in, and that'll be a 7 p.m. tip time on Friday the 18th, and both games will be broadcast on the Pac-12 network. And then the week of Christmas, they have one road game, and it's in conference play at Arizona State, who the Sun Devils are really good this year. I think that they're going to be one of the top teams in the Pac-12. That'll be a tough one to go down to Tempe and try and get a win over the Sun Devils. That'll be a 7 p.m. tip time on the Pac-12 networks as well. And then they head over to L.A. So Utah will have 3 straight road games after this Idaho game on Saturday or on Friday. All right, and that'll do it for this edition of the Crimson Corner Podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys follow us on social media. I'm at Trevor A. Sports on Twitter and at Trevor Allen KSL on Instagram. And then also follow us at KSL Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next time, thank you guys so much for tuning in. This has been the Crimson Corner Podcast. It's always powered by KSLSports.com.